Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. After more than 3 decades assisting independent cinema creators break into that medium, the Independent Filmmaker Project will take steps to land them on television. Step 1, IFP Film Week, coming to Brooklyn for the first time next weekend. IFP Deputy and Programming Director Amy Dotson joins me next. Earlier this summer, we introduced you to Digital Media Rights, a supplier of several services available on smart television sets and devices like Roku. Before the end of August, DMR introduced the most ambitious content play yet, UU. Programming Director and General Manager Will Chow will do the honors for you later this hour. Also ahead, Netflix expands Narcos, our classic trivia question of the week, and we remember TV's one and only writer, Hugh O'Brien. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the hour. Happy, happy weather this post-Labor Day Tuesday of 2016 for the program All About Television. Special edition coming your way. We're normally on Monday and Friday at this hour. And we're delighted to have you aboard, as well as our guests who will be joining us shortly. If you have a question or comment for them, give us a ring. Here's the number you use, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe right here on Blog Talk Radio. We have a chat room open for your use. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And guests 730 and Rick Webb, our good friend from Philadelphia, already in the room. And while the forum is on the air, you can connect to others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. From the Independent Filmmaker Project, Amy Dotson joins me here in New York after these news notes. Netflix opened this morning with a 2-season renewal of Narcos, its acclaimed bilingual drug smuggling drama series. Season 2 became available just last Friday. New episodes will play during 2017 and 2018, with acclaimed filmmaker Jose Padilla staying involved as co-executive producer. Picnic at Hanging Rock, the popular 1975 feature flick from Australia, directed by Peter Weir, will turn to a 6-hour miniseries next year. Foxtel will produce and play Picnic Down Under, then give Fremantle Media distribution rights worldwide. And staying global, Homeland-originating network Keshet is launching a drama series development initiative with Paris-based programmer Nguyen. The Israeli-based programmer and Nguyen will solicit series pitches from French or Israeli-based writers. Up to 3 1-hour projects will be picked for international distribution in 2017 and beyond. And that is news notes for today. Now joining me here in New York, the Deputy Director and Programming Director of the Independent Filmmaker Project, Amy Dotson. Amy, great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me on.
What is IFP, and why, after more than 3 decades being around, have you decided, let's do television?
Sure. So IFP has been around for 38 years as a support organization for independent filmmakers. And as the landscape changed and audience desires changed, and certainly since filmmakers as storytellers have more options than ever to tell those stories, we decided that we would expand what we've traditionally called Independent Film Week, which is the only U.S. co-production market for new projects in development to include serialized content. And, of course, that includes TV, web, and virtual reality, as well as many other new forms of storytelling that are just getting started.
Was there a groundswell among your membership to do this, or is this something that you and your fellow colleagues at IFP decided it's time?
I think it's a little of both. I think, you know, we're a year-round membership organization, and we're housed here at the Made in New York Media Center by IFP. And at this center, certainly our members want to make work. They want to continue telling their stories. And unlike perhaps 20 years ago where, you know, you made a film and then hopefully it was successful either financially or creatively or hopefully both, and you were able to make the next project, now we have so many new players and so many new ways to tell stories. And so I think there was a real hunger from our membership to learn not only how to make those stories and the creative choices behind them, but also to expand their networks to understand how, you know, who the players and the gatekeepers and all of the people that could potentially fund other work outside of film to sustain them both creatively and financially. And certainly I think that in the general business, whether it's other like-minded nonprofits, whether it's the festival scene, and even companies themselves. A24 is an incredibly successful, relatively new company on the scene for film, but it has a television division as well. Certainly there's the players of Netflix and Amazon and HBO that are multifaceted as well. So I think from both a business perspective as well as a creator perspective, it's absolutely the right thing to do to give people options and opportunities.
Mm-hmm. We know that a growing number of independent filmmakers are getting into television, and they're not just creating shows, they're running the show. Great case, of course, Mr. Robot with Sam Esmail, Rashada Shepherd with Born Again Virgin on TV One more recently, then Katai, who we had on this program last week, whose new series on Crackle Startup premieres tonight. What do people in your membership want to know about how to get involved with television? What are they most hungry, as you say, for?
Well, I think that they're hungry for a few things. One is they're hungry for collaborators. They you know, while there are directors and there are showrunners and there are creators that, you know, obviously fuel these series into existence, they genuinely couldn't exist without strong producers, strong below-the-line talent, and even, you know, actors and actresses that perhaps may have been in their earlier short work or in other kinds of projects that they've worked with. So I think first and foremost, they're hungry for a community and a community of collaborators across both creative, business, and technology strands. I think, you know, the other piece of the puzzle here is that they want access to all the folks that are potentially financing or promoting all these projects, because it's one thing to make an excellent project. It's another to have somebody either independently or as a company supporting it such that it can actually reach audiences, and not only reach audiences, but rise above the noise. Because the good news is there's more options and opportunities than ever to have your story told. And if you do the work, you can actually reach audiences. The bad news, or, you know, the challenge is that there are more stories out there on more platforms than ever. And so it's very important to IFP and to our members to make sure that once the work is finished, that it actually reaches the audiences that want to see it and want to experience it.
Since you raised the whole idea of investment, Amy, how much of the television side of this film week is going to be devoted, for example, getting the venture capitalists, the angel investors, crowdfunding groups like Kickstarter, Indiegogo, and Season Spark, some of whom are now doing a lot of stuff in television, either trying to encourage funding of pilots or even funding of series, how much will they be involved in this event?
Sure. So we'll have 45 series taking part in the event this year. And again, we're the only international co-production market in the United States. So those are projects that are coming from South Africa. Those are projects that are coming from France. Those are projects that are coming from right here in Brooklyn. So they're all, I'd say half are at the stage of kind of development. They're still looking for people to help them put together the pieces to go out and either shoot the pilot or shoot the series. Others certainly have something already in place, whether it's the pilot itself or if it's a web series or a virtual reality or interactive series, they already have something that's a proof of concept in place. So, you know, it's really our job to have a mix of people. Certainly there'll be financiers here, there'll be production companies, there'll be, you know, a lot of the large distributors and players, as well as people that can help them to figure out their digital strategy to market the project, to really understand how to reach audiences. So whether they go the traditional route of television or, you know, through a digital player, or they decide to go the route of kind of independent content and putting it out there themselves. It's very important for them to have all of those pieces of the puzzle in place so that they can do what they need to do without compromise.
IFP Film Week, which is put together by the Independent Filmmaker Project, will be in Brooklyn for the first time and will be covering television in a major way for the first time. That's going to be happening on September 17th to 22nd, and we'll tell you the website you can get the information for in a little bit. Amy Dotson is IFP's Program Director and Deputy Director, and she joins us live here in New York this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Applebaum, I'm here with you live from the Big Apple on this special Tuesday edition of our program. We're normally on Mondays and Fridays at 3 o'clock here on Blog Talk Radio. If you have a question or comment for Amy, give us a call. Use this number, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up Friday on our regular hour, we will highlight two weekday shows that are coming your way next week. First, Robert Irvine of Restaurant Impossible taking on conflict resolution on a daily basis on the CW weekday afternoon. We've got the executive producer of the Robert Irvine Show, John Irwin, in an Internet Radio exclusive off the bat. And then, a show that's been running on stations around the country owned by Scripps, The List, A show we've covered in the past, originating from Phoenix, is going national for the first time. We'll have an exclusive interview with the new executive producer, Terry Mauser, and the new co-host, Jeannie Carrero, coming off E! News. It's all Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Amy, what will be some of the highlights television-wise for Film Week?
Sure. So, you know, one of our big initiatives is making sure that audiences are able to really discover some of these artists and these great projects first. So on Wednesday evening, the 21st of September in Brooklyn Bridge Park, we will be showcasing 20 of these amazing projects. And so you'll be able to see excerpts from VR projects, excerpts from television and traditional projects, web series, and even some for Snapchat. So it's a great night to come out, a great view, and discover some of these projects. As well, we host a conference, which is called the IFP Screen Forward Conference. That takes place from the 17th, Saturday the 17th of September through the 22nd. And throughout, we'll have conference content about the various television trends, web trends as well as people that are really, a big part of that, whether that's Issa Rae, who started Awkward Black Girl as a web series and now is premiering her series on HBO. Ditto our friends from High Maintenance, who started as an independent web series and went on to Vimeo and now also will be premiering on HBO. There's lots of different folks that you can see, and you know, whether it's through a very casual meetup or whether it's through a full-blown conference conversation, we definitely welcome anyone and everyone who's excited about these new frontiers of storytelling to come and experience it.
I want to go back to the conference because it's a very special session. You didn't mention that. I definitely want to make sure it gets highlighted here. And we did that on BK Live earlier today. But what are some of the TV pilots or possible TV series that will be shown at this screening in Brooklyn Bridge?
Sure. So they're part of our Screen Forward Labs, which right now are the only labs in the country to help series creators when they need it most. And that's through the kind of marketing and distribution and audience engagement after you've made your series. And so these are excerpts from projects that will be, again, live either in the next coming year, either on the interweb, through digital channels, or through television. So we're really excited to premiere some of those things. Two have already gone ahead and premiered. One was a great yoga series called Namaste Bitches that the LA Weekly called the girls of the yoga scene. And it got a great number of reviews, and now they're looking to kind of take that project to the next level. So I think that all these projects, what they have in common is that some of them are funny, some of them are in a genre area, and some of them really aspire to be television, but all of them are great stories and will definitely charm audiences and definitely leave a memorable mark.
Mm-hmm. In recent months, ever since the Academy Awards came out, the nominations that had no women or no one of color nominated in the acting categories or in other categories as well, we've seen a groundswell of efforts to try to get more women, and particularly women of color, into television. We did it together, We for She, made by her, now called, I believe, Project Her, and the latest comes from the former co-star of Charmed, Rose McGowan, who has decided, I'm no longer acting, I'm going to step behind the camera. She's formed her own production company, and she's got a project now called Presenting Women, and she will be at your fest.
She will. She'll be our speaker on Saturday afternoon, and we're thrilled to have her, and we're thrilled that it comes through our friends at Series Fest, which is a fantastic television and web content festival that runs out of Denver. And, you know, I think a lot of the conversation around that is, I feel like lots of nonprofits are really in conversation about how to improve the landscape and make sure that voices that might not otherwise be heard get a chance to be both in front of and behind the camera. And I think, you know, IFP really, you know, takes steps every year to make sure that we're getting projects from, as I mentioned, around the world, but also not just New York and LA. And so, you know, our project slate this year has more than 50% women creators and far more than 50% diverse creators as well. It's very important to us that the best projects come, but that the best projects come from all over and from those, like I said, those voices that wouldn't otherwise be heard. So I think that, you know, whether it's Rose, whether it's, you know, through IFP programs, through other things that are happening in the kind of larger ecosystem, there really is a concerted effort, and it's very important that we all focus on making sure that there's access to all to tell the stories that need to be told.
And in our second half hour, we're going to have UU, which is the latest of these channels that are showcasing original television work, like Netflix and Hulu and Amazon and so forth. Well, what kind of relationship does IFP have with the likes of a Netflix or a UU? And if you don't have them the full extent you want, what actions are being taken to try to establish more of a pipeline where some of your independent producer membership can produce shows or come up with pilots on a regular basis?
Absolutely. So, of course, we have relationships with some of the large players that are in the space, as well as some of the companies and that are film, you know, formerly just film companies and now are getting into digital and branded and other kind of serialized content plays. I think, you know, we're really excited to see so many new companies that are looking for this kind of talent, because while they may be looking for interesting projects, they're also looking for interesting directors. You know, certainly one of our success stories is that, you know, I think 8 years ago now, we had as a work in progress in our spotlight and documentary section, a project called Making of a Murderer, which of course has gone on to become a series and a large, you know, both creative and the business success for our friends at Netflix. I think that it's very important that us as an organization have those ties to filmmakers, because for us, it's really about being an ecosystem, being a community that changes with the times and making sure that our members, but really our members, our audience, and our creators all have access to this kind of ever-evolving group of players, because I think it takes a lot of, it takes a village, and, you know, certainly we're learning right along with our members who some of these new players are, like a UU, and we invite them to come and meet the amazing people that are creating the kind of stories of tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. You obviously see this Film Week as the beginning of a year-round effort to encourage more of your members to A, do television, and B, to get their product seen somehow, some way. What is step number two for your group?
I think, you know, the step number two is a mystery a little bit. I think we're in a time where we have these emergent technologies like VR and like AR, where we have filmmakers who really are interested in the kind of stories they can tell with partners or with branded content. And then, you know, what we want to have are options. You know, there are lots of filmmakers that we work with that maybe don't want to go into TV, that maybe don't want to learn the greatest and the best new technologies. They want to tell their stories through film, and we support that as well. That said, we have a beautiful 22,000 square foot space here in Dumbo, Brooklyn, which is really the intersection of storytelling and tech. It has an incubator where members work day in, day out, on different emergent technologies, on different stories, on different projects, which really are moving the needle forward. And we really look to them and we look to our members as much as we do to kind of the larger ecosystem on what's happening next and what we should be focusing on. Because at the end of the day, we're here 365 days a year and we're working with artists in a myriad of ways to help these projects move forward and connect with audiences. So while we are thrilled to be part of Film Week, and that's our signature program that we've had for 38 years, we really are thrilled most of all that we can be here every step of the way, from development through post-production, through audience engagement, and on to next projects and next projects as, you know, some of our amazing filmmakers grow into television artists and in other arenas.
Before we move on, Amy, there is a website, an organization called The Blacklist, which has been very influential in connecting screenwriters with producers. And we've seen some of the best Academy Award-winning films of recent years get that initial connection to be made through The Blacklist. The Blacklist now is a project of women in film to try to get TV pilots made by women in color together. Have you any thoughts about tying in with The Blacklist to do a TV project?
We've known Franklin Leonard, who runs The Blacklist, for years. He's a good friend of IFP, and we're always thrilled to have him. He's not with us this year because he has another project commitment, but he comes every year. And this is a place that The Blacklist sources as, you know, a place for talent and a place for projects. So, you know, we have a great working relationship with our friends at The Blacklist. And certainly, if they were interested in something like that, we'd be thrilled to work with them again and again.
Next time we see Franklin, Amy, let us know. We'd love to have him come on this program. We've wanted to have him on for several years because the Blacklist is really getting more increasingly involved with television. They have a deal with CBS and TNT. They have a development deal now with Women in Film on for television. They have a thing with Wigs, the website that's done a lot of women's programming with major stars. So I'd love to have Franklin on and talk about what the Blacklist is doing in television. IFP Film Week is taking place in Brooklyn for the very first time and covering television in a major way for the first time, September 17th to the 22nd at various venues in the borough. And we've got Amy Dotson. She is the deputy and program director of IFP joining me here in New York on Tomorrow We Televise. Tom Applebaum, here we are. Thank you for joining us on this post Labor Day Tuesday 2016. Give us a call if you have a question or comment for Amy. The number is 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. A week from Friday on Tomorrow We Televise, we will talk to one of the top series creators in comedy in recent years. His name is Mike Schur. He was the co-creator of Park Recreation, worked on The Office, writer on Saturday Night Live, is up for an Emmy Award for executive producing Master of None with Aziz Ansari, and his latest work is coming up later this month on NBC, The Good Place, the new sitcom starring Ted Danson and Kirsten Bell. Mike Schur will be our lead guest a week from Friday, September 16th, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Amy, we have seen in the last few years the development of a circuit of TV festivals, New York, Series Fest in Denver. We've got ITVS coming up in Vermont. We've got festivals in other places like Atlanta and Austin where people can either pitch or they can showcase pilots. What do you see in terms of trying to work with these festivals and others to create more of a relationship between your membership and them?
Well, I think it takes a lot of folks to make sure that these projects see the light of day, get completed, and certainly find audiences. You can certainly make those comparisons of television festivals, film festivals. You know, it's a place where people really get seen and get noticed. And I think that, you know, our attitude towards it is the more the merrier, and that, you know, we really, those are a lot of the colleagues that we speak to now about the great content that's happening, like you said, in Austin or in Denver or other places, including, you know, the New York Television Festival right here. So I think, you know, it takes a village. It takes a lot of people. And what IFP really is known for is, you know, Film Week is a place where you can come home. You can come and look for great projects. You can come and kind of see what's next. But we really want as many people from both the film and film television industry side, as well as the creatives and audiences, to mix and mingle together. And so I think there's this really interesting ecosystem of television and serialized content-based festivals. But you're also seeing it, too, at traditional film festivals. And, you know, while who knows what the future brings, I certainly think that a lot of the exciting and innovative festivals are really, you know, they're still film festivals at heart, but really allowing, again, creators and audiences to experience these kinds of stories in new ways and focusing and featuring them in their lineups and in their kind of ancillary programming. So we embrace it. We think it's terrific. And certainly the more the merrier.
Well, we've seen, Amy, some specialized festivals like the American Black Film Festival and Urban World and some others, particularly ones that aimed at people of color, and some television stuff in the past. ABFF has the annual scriptwriting contest, maybe TV movies that TV1 is involved with. Urban World has HBO as a sponsor. Issa Rae was at an Urban World event several years ago and showcased a project called ColorCreative.tv, another way that people can produce pilots that ultimately could be sold as television series. Sundance has Episodic Television Lab. You wonder, though, do you see a day soon when the New York Television Festival, Tribeca, which we know is going to do more television, they've sort of dabbled in and out the last couple of years, but it looks like next year they're going to really take a big plunge. Telluride, Cannes, London, film festivals, not just in New York, in the U.S. of A., but around the world. Do you see them, let's say, in the next couple of years say, you know what, we've got to do television. We cannot exclude television from what we're doing.
You know, I think every organization and every, you know, group of curators that holds these things together is different. But I think that, you know, more and more people recognize that, you know, stories can be told in a myriad of ways. It's definitely not something where it's either or, it's and. It's very much that you can still be considered a filmmaker and still, you know, make, you know, executive produce Narcos. You can still be a filmmaker and make Mr. Robot. It's an interesting time because, you know, we always try to put everybody in very, very clean boxes. It makes life easier for audiences. It makes life easier for industry. But the fact of the matter is that I think these festivals will, you know, some of the festivals certainly will look at it and see that television isn't the same as it was many, many moons ago. Some colleagues are making an amazing series called Search Party. They're traditional filmmakers in the sense that they've gone the circuit, they've made feature films, they've played at South by Southwest with their film Fort Tilden, but they made an independent pilot. They worked with Jack Media. It was picked up by TBS, and they're going to have the series premiere, and it's going to premiere all over Thanksgiving weekend. So it doesn't roll out once a week. It will be kind of a millennial whodunit mystery that comes from Wednesday night of Thanksgiving all the way through Friday. And so all these models are shifting, and I think that whether it's, again, at festivals or, you know, people with, you know, that are acquiring or investing in them, they're realizing that there's other ways to kind of go about this process than the traditional showrunners and kind of television series of yore.
Mm-hmm. And as you say, Amy, the more the merrier, and it's great to see that these festivals are looking that they will make television a big part of what they're doing and bring more people into the play. Inclusion is great. IFP Film Week takes place September 17th to 22nd here in Brooklyn. And if you want more details about the festival, including the Screen Forward concert and the special screening on September 21st at Brooklyn Bridge Park the week from Wednesday, here's where you go, www.ifp.org. It's www.ifp.org. And Amy, I believe there's a second website now that's open specifically for filming.
That's correct. It's ifpfilmweek.com. And that has the links to all of the public programming, including the conference, as well as how to buy tickets, which we'd love to see as many of your listeners at the event as possible, September 17th through the 22nd, right here in Dumbo, Brooklyn.
Amy Godson, Deputy and Program Director for the Independent Filmmaker Project, thank you so much for being with us. Good luck with what I hope will be an ongoing dialogue, not just with Film Week, but other initiatives, too, to bring more people into the television world.
Great. Thank you again for having me. We appreciate it.
You're welcome, Amy. All the best. Stay in touch. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Amy Dodson, Deputy and Program Director of IFP Film Week. Again, it's taking place September 17th to 22nd. And once again, it's www.ifp.org or ifpfilmweek.com. Earlier today, Amy was on BK Live, which is the local show on Brick TV, started a brand new season. And if you want to catch that segment, if you're in New York, either throughout New York City on Verizon Fios, in Manhattan on Charter, in Brooklyn on Charter, which was formerly Time Warner Cable. Here was this RCN. You can check out that segment at the top of the hour, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Also, for those of you naturally, you can catch that opening segment of BK Live, which yours truly and Amy were on, either tomorrow or Thursday at this website, youtube.com/BrickTV. youtube.com/BrickTV. Well, our Classic Trivia Question of the Week and our second half of the program after some words from the fine folks at audible.com. Question, what is your favorite TV show of all time? Well, two big followers of television have a lot of answers about that. One is Alan Sepinwall from Hitchcock, the other is the popular Matt Zahar Search. And both of them have come up with a brand new book that's been published this week called TV the Book. TV the Book. And you can get the audio version of TV the Book right now by being a 30-day trial member with Audible.com. Audible.com is Amazon.com's wonderful place for spoken audio information, entertainment, and inspiration. With over 100,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now. Remember, if you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, that's audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook, like TV the Book, or many, many other titles and all sorts of genres, and a 30-day trial of the service. And remember, because Audible is owned by Amazon.com, the customer service and quality is top of the line. So check out what Audible.com can be for you, your sound home for the very, very best in digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. Audible.com, an Amazon company. One more time, that URL to go for, audibletrial.com/televised. And now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. We'll bring back the question from last week. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com, or tweet #TWBT, and you can win the Twin Peaks FAQ book. Here's the question. What Western television series started first? Frontier, Frontier Circus, or Frontier Doctor? Which Western TV series started or launched first? Frontier, Frontier Circus, or Frontier Doctor. We want both the name and we want the launch year. We can tell you, as a clue, the year is between 1950 and 1965. 1950 and 1965. Email me with the first correct answer. You get Twin Peaks FAQ by Applause Books. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Be sure to include your name and your full mailing address. You can also tweet the answer to hashtag TWBT. It's hashtag TWBT. The Twitter option is made available by the wonderful people at Hopscotch, the folks that invite you to create your own social soundtrack. Learn how at hopscotch.com. If you missed the question just now, no problem. I'll post it on my Facebook page and on my own Twitter hashtag at UBC Simon TWBT. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. When we come back, we'll have UU's head person, general manager and plumbing director, Will Chow, will join me here in New York. And we'll remember the Wyatt Earp of television and maybe of all time in any medium, Hugh O'Brien. Get to all of that after we pull it after the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for What's the Buzz NYC. Join comedian Nancy Lombardo with her wonderful guests and a lot of humor along the way. What's the Buzz NYC every Monday, right here, various times, on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, best details are available to you 24/7 at YouTube.com. Well, I'm back in the second half of Tomorrow We Televise on this special Tuesday edition, day after Labor Day. We hope you had a wonderful Labor Day weekend. Got through Tropical Storm Hermine, which is now moving out to sea, we understand. And Simon Apple down here with you live from New York. Another great guest coming away this half hour. If you have a question or comment for that guest, you give us a ring with this number, 646-652-2906. Number is good anyway, you're catching across the country and world here on Blog Talk Radio. And you've got our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. I want to welcome Easy Rider on the road, guest 7:30, and our good friend Rick Webb in Philadelphia. By the way, Easy Rider says he's seen Narcos. We did the news note at the first half hour that Narcos, now in its second season, has been renewed by Netflix for season 3 and 4 going into 2018. And Easy Rider says he has seen season 1 of Narcos, and he says it is great. He loved it. And he likes the fact we're going to be remembering Hugh O'Brien, TV's Wyatt Earp. We'll get to that a little later on in the program. A few weeks ago, we introduced you to a company called Digital Media Rights. It's a company that was formed by Michael Hahn, the former head of Imagination TV. We had this program when he did that wonderful venture, an Asian American entertainment empire, if you will. Well, Digital Media Rights is turning into its own unique empire. The idea is to provide streaming services that are available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices, in some cases free and some for a fee. They include horror thriller programmer Midnight Pulp and Pan-Asian service Asian Crumb. Well, this past week, a brand new service came on board, which is their most ambitious yet. In the case of my next guest, he calls it a combination between Netflix and YouTube. It's called UU. And joining us with all the details is the general manager and program director of that service, Will Chow, here in New York. Hi, Will.
Hi, Simon.
What do you call your service, a combination of Netflix and YouTube?
I think the thing is the digital market, it's so exciting right now, it's huge, that there's a lot of space that hasn't been filled. You know, Netflix is very curated. They do a lot of original productions. In fact, most of their new content now are original productions. And YouTube is all about user-generated content. What we kind of really want to offer with UU is a platform that's a bit open to, like Amy said, like independent producers and filmmakers, but also it's still curated in the sense where the audience wouldn't get lost in it and they know what to find.
You started UU before the Labor Day weekend. What's been the early reaction to it?
I think the reaction's been great. You know, it's only been a week or maybe a week and a half. We launched first on Roku, which is the OTT device that has the most market share right now. And we're developing for Apple TV and Amazon Fire Stick. And also we're available on the web right now. So, you know, we definitely want to be on all devices for everybody to access.
How soon will you be on Apple TV as well as Amazon Fire? And Chromecast is also in the cards as well as Sony's television sets.
Yes. Chromecast, I think... may even be available now just by the extension of, you know, casting the video player from your web browser.
Easy Rider is still in our chat room. He wants to know from you, Will, how much does UU cost?
So UU right now, in fact, it costs nothing. You know, there's a lot of free content. In fact, 70% of the content on the channel right now is just available for streaming with advertising. But if you do want to remove the commercials and get access to the rest of the 30% exclusive titles, it's $4.99 a month and $49.99 for the year.
And how did you pick the original TV programming that's featured? You have movies as well, but what about the TV programming? How did you pick or decide which shows you were going to present right off the bat?
I think, you know, we're, as you were saying before, like, you know, we do a lot of niche channels. You know, we're very heavy on acquisitions. We go to every single film market and TV markets around the world. And what we really look for, in this case for UU, are things that are that speak to, you know, the current pop culture psyche, speaks to current issues. The editorial tone for UU is definitely skewing to the younger audience, millennials, if people still want to use that word. So we look for a lot of content, a lot of true crime docs right now. They're very engaging, and a lot of we have this content from China, which is all English, but it's about it's just a very beautifully filmed TV program about Chinese cuisine, kind of like almost like on the level of, you know, Discovery's Earth or Cosmos was the other one on outer space. So that's what we're looking for. We're looking for very forward-thinking content that speaks to a younger audience.
I've got great news for you, Will. Our chat room participant, Easy Rider, you may have a new customer with him. He likes what you're saying. He likes the price of $4.99. He likes the fact it's free right now. He wants to join in. So you may have a customer. You may be hearing from Easy Rider sooner than you think. And Easy Rider, thank you for being in the chat room. And anybody else who wants to join in, please go to the chat room. It's over at our homepage, www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. We've got guest 7:30, Rick Weber, friend from Philadelphia in the room. Or, of course, use the call. That's the phone, 646-652-2906. Talk about, is it just nonfiction or unscripted TV series you're carrying now, or are you carrying any scripted shows?
We carry scripted show also. You know, we're looking, it may not currently be on the channel right now, but we're looking for more scripted TVs, not just internationally, but independent produced ones. You know, like Amy said, there's just so many talented content producers and filmmakers out there that, you know, there's more shows to be seen and watched than there are services that provides a platform for it. So I want to talk about scripted show. We have a lot of, we have a sort of scripted mockumentary on paranormal activities. That's very popular, and, you know, and also a kind of zombie apocalypse show from Russia.
Zombie apocalypse from Russia? Oh, you got to say more about that one, Will.
It's called The Day After. You know, it's about, again, it's about kind of a drug company that accidentally releases a deadly virus, and then, like, you know, and the core cast are very young, so they're kind of dealing with, it's also kind of social commentary on dealing with, you know, the mistakes the previous generation kind of like left them with, you know. So it's zombie apocalypse with a social commentary message.
I was going to say that you have an unscripted show called The Big Flip, which is sort of a flip on a very popular genre of television that networks like Home and Garden Television, DIY, both owned by Scripps and others are doing, which is the idea of flipping houses to make
yes.
money.
Yes, I believe that one's English language for sure. Again, you know, that's a proven genre on, you know, HDTV and Discovery. We are looking for that type of shows that already speaks to an audience right now and introducing new elements to it, you know.
We've got Will Chow. He is the general manager and the plumbing director of one of the newest plumbing services out there. It's UU. It is currently running on Roku as well as on the web, and will shortly be running on other TV-making devices, or TV smart-making devices, I should say, such as Apple TV, Chromecast, as well as Amazon Fire TV. We should point out that Amazon's Audible.com division is a sponsor of our program and also available on smart TV sets starting with Sony. Will joins me here in New York this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Applebaum with you along for the ride. Delighted you are along as well. If you have a question or comment for Will, give us a ring and take this number down, 646-652-2906. Numbers with anyway, you're catching us across the country, around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio. Or use our chat room, SimonApple041. And again, you will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we will focus on two weekday shows that are premiering either nationwide or in other parts of the country next week. Next Monday, I should say. First of all, coming up next Monday on the CW, weekday afternoons, it's the brand new series with Restaurant Impossible host Robert Irvine. Now he's not just doing transformation with restaurants and the people who run them. He's doing transformations of anybody that comes in his way. And we will have the executive producer of the Robert Irvine Show that is on 3 p.m. Eastern Time on many CW stations, including Channel 11 here in New York. Starting Monday, John Irwin will join us on Friday. Then we'll talk to the new executive producer and the new co-host of The List. It's a show that's been around in various parts of the country for about 4 years, early evening time periods, out of Phoenix, and run by the many Scripps stations, or Scripps-owned stations, separate from the Scripps Network people behind Home and Garden, Food, et cetera, et cetera. And that show is going national starting Monday. We will have Terry Miles, the new executive producer, and the new co-host, fresh off E! News, Christian Guerrero. That's all coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Guess what, Will? We have a call. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from? And I guess the caller is gone. So if the caller would like to come back, we'll try again, 646-652-2906. Will, do you plan ultimately, like Netflix, like other services, like to commission original shows?
Sorry, Simon, you broke off.
Hello, Will.
Hi.
Okay, nope, you're on. You're back on.
Yes, sorry, I missed the question.
Yeah, at any point, do you expect that UU is going to commission original series, scripted or unscripted, like Netflix and the rest of those folks?
Yes, that is definitely our goal. We think we'll definitely be involved in working with independent producers in the beginning. I mean, I just be realistic, I don't think the scale will be as quite as large as Netflix or Hulu in terms of the budget they have, but you know, a lot of the proven hits and have been very small budgeted series or films on even on those bigger platforms, you know. So we know that the audience don't just expect a spectacle, you know. Sometimes it's really just about the narrative and the storytelling.
And well, I believe we have our call, we're gonna take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey Simon, this is Easy Rider. I'm calling here from Pennsylvania.
Easy Rider, great to have you with us. Thanks for getting on the line, and you're on the line with Will Chow from UU. Go ahead.
Hey, Will, how you doing today? Great concept you got there. I'm ready to get to cut my cable on my TV, and I'm not going to say who I'm with, but I'm with a leading cable company, and it's costing me about $200 a month. And I can see the trend more or less going to like pick your channels. You know what I mean? Like, you know, why pay for channels you're not using? So, you know, I'd say about 80% of the time I'm streaming some sort of off of Roku. I use Roku and or some streaming off the internet rather than my cable. Really, I only watch some news on my TV. So basically, you know, I'm a big media person, and I wanted to see if you could get Simon to put a link to join UU. I was hunting for one and couldn't find it.
On Roku, you can find it. Hi, Easy Rider.
I mean to sign up on. Do you have to sign up on Roku? Is that how it works, or do you have a site
yeah,
I can go
yeah.
to?
Yeah, right now the exclusive content is only on Roku. You do sign up within the app. It's a very easy process.
Yes. I didn't try it yet, but I thought maybe you could sign up on your thing. But Roku will give you a code and all that. The way they do it, I guess. Correct.
Yes, we're developing the internet connectivity right now. Currently, you can sign up on Roku. it's literally two button clicks, and then you're good to go.
And then, Will, just to further the dialogue alone, these were just opened up. Will that be the same thing when you go on Apple TV, when you go on Chromecast, when you go on Sony's TV sets? The same thing, you have to sign up with the individual device or the individual set maker.
Right. Well, I just bought a Chromebook, so I'll be using it on my Chromebook on vacation. I'm going to get on there today, see if I can get it on. How about Sling TV? You guys going to be on Sling?
No, we're not going to be on Sling right now. I think Sling is, I'm not 100% sure, but I think that Sling is only for actually cable networks. They're cutting the cord for cable networks.
Yeah.
So we don't exist on TV. So I'm not sure we fit their profile.
Right. No, I know the profile you fit. Roku's a great outlet. You know, I mean, they're getting bigger and bigger, I guess. I mean, I love Roku. They're putting on a lot of good content on there. I know that. And you know, hopefully you guys go have some good luck on there and maybe find some other media outlets for you too, you know. Listen to your public, man. Listen to your public. That's my only advice I can give you. Listen to the public. Put some fillers out there. See what the public wants.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Easy Rider, thanks for calling from PA. We really appreciate it. Thanks for that. Awesome. Also, thanks for the chat room action, too.
No problem. Thank you, Simon. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Easy Rider.
Take care.
Hey, guys.
Easy Rider, our chat room friend from Pennsylvania, is joining us here on Tomorrow We Tell Live. And if you want to be involved in the action on the phone, give us a call, 646-652-2906. Will, you want to make an additional point about what Easy Rider brought up?
I do. You know, it's great to see, like, our audience responding. Like I said, I just think there's a lot of capacity for new digital channels because everybody's cutting cords because cable is just so impossibly expensive. And, you know, Netflix, great service. Hulu is a great service. Amazon is a great service. But there's just a lot more capacity for newer services, same channels digitally for everybody to access. And that's really the goal for UU. You know, like you said, we've had success in the past with a lot of niche channels. Asian Crush, which is our Asian entertainment channel, and also Midnight Pulp, which is a horror cult movie channel. We have a documentary channel lined up. But what UU provides is, you know, it's an access point, you know, to these kind of different niche contents. You know, someone might not be able want to jump right in and just subscribe to content with only Asian films or only horror films, but for UU, you can see the content, you can try it. There will be a lot of international content. There will be a lot of independent content. There's a lot of docs. So, and then maybe it'll open up new windows to these other niche channels for our audiences, and that's really what we're hoping.
We'll be on the website. We'll give the website out, by the way, at the end of the interview. And also being on programs like this, how are you getting the word out to people that you're out there and that you have the kind of programming you have?
So we're very active on social media. Like I said, you know, we're really targeting a millennial younger audience. So we've been doing a lot of social media campaigns. Possibly in the next few weeks, we'll have some promotional campaign with rewards. That's really what we're focusing on right now, just getting the word on the street via social media.
We had Amy from the independent, from IFP Film Week on the first half hour. You know that there's a bunch of TV festivals now in place, New York Television Festival. You've also got ITVS up in Vermont coming up in early October. You've got events here in New York like the New York TV and Video Week, the New York Media Festival with the Future TV 4, and so on, Series Fest in Denver next year, and so on. Are they planning to try to get to these festivals, you and your colleagues, and try to touch base with some producers that you see doing product for you?
Yes, like Amy said, it's very exciting right now, especially since we're based in New York also. I think we went to Northside Festival earlier this year. And I'm definitely sure we'll be attending IFP too. I'm personally not. I mean, I can't be everywhere at once. I wish I could, but you know, we have a very capable acquisition team that goes to most of these festivals and overseas and domestically to really just dive into the content, like very grassroots style, and talking to the producers and filmmakers to see how we can kind of come up with new ways to get their content to the homes of the consumers, to the audience that they want. Because that was always a difficult part in the past, especially before this whole digital revolution we had. And right now we're just in exciting times because OTT channels are really, really starting to grow. And the business is there for the market has shown that. So a lot of bigger companies, there's just a lot more money involved. And whereas previously those money was spent on producing Hollywood content, but now people are really looking outside the box and looking to the independents.
Mm-hmm. Now that Digital Media Rights has this channel and you've got the other channel that Michael talked to us about earlier this summer, you mentioned a documentary channel is coming up. When will that be coming online, and what other services are you looking at?
Actually, we have two coming up. No, three. We have a kids service, which is called Kokoro. That's C-O-C-O-R-O. And the independent art house channel called Cinehouse. And a documentary channel called Unscripted. I think Kokoro will really just be out anytime in the next week or 2 weeks, with Cinehouse to follow a month after. So we're looking at the documentary channel maybe sometime in late November, early December.
Mm-hmm.
We're very aggressive in terms of the rollout. So all channels will be initially available on Roku and on the web, and with additional platforms to come, like Apple TV and Amazon Fire Stick, Chromecast, etc.
And it sounds like with the children's service, that would be an opportunity for producers of possible children's TV shows to be involved with that as well.
Of course. You know, there are a lot of cool independent content out there, and you know, our channel is really just set out to kind of serve to showcase that.
The name of the network is UU, and right now it is available on that smart TV device known as Roku, and soon it will be coming up on Apple TV, on Chromecast, Amazon Fire TV, as well as smart TV sets beginning with Sony. If you want to know more about UU, there's two websites you can go to. There's one specifically for the service, that's UU, that's YUYU.com, www.YUYU.com, and then one for the parent company, digitalmediarights.com, it's digitalmediarights.com. Yes, Will?
Sorry, it's actually UUTV.com. So YUYUTV.com.
Got it. So it's YUYUTV.com. Thanks so much for the addition on that. Will Chow, General Manager, Program Director of UU, or YUYUTV. Thanks again for joining us. Congratulations on getting the service off the ground. Hopefully many more producers, independent otherwise, will have the opportunity to have their TV series and other things showcased there. And hopefully a lot more viewers will be coming along for the ride as well, maybe including Easy Rider.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you for having me on and giving me the opportunity to talk about the service.
Pleasure to have you on, Will. You're welcome back anytime. We'd love to have you, Michael, et cetera, back to talk about the kids' service when that comes on and the other services coming before the end of the year. All the greatest. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Will Chow, General Manager, Program Director of UUTV, joining us live here in New York. One of the most iconic people in the world of television westerns, and someone who, even 60-plus years after the fact, many know as the Wyatt Earp, in any medium, passed away yesterday. Hugh O'Brien was 91 years young, and I mean young because he was still in very, very good shape when he passed away peacefully yesterday, so says his family. Hugh O'Brien was a television and theater actor who in the mid-1950s received what turned out to be the television role of a lifetime, playing one of the most iconic, legendary people and truly light people in all the West, Wyatt Earp. The series was one of the first to tell Westerns along with Gunsmoke, and it was a show that really made ABC, the television network, on the path it started out to be, ultimately be. O'Brien played the role of Wyatt Earp for 6 years. It was a very well-written show, also known for the wonderful a cappella theme song composed by the lullaby Broadway man Harry Warren and done by Ken Darby and his wonderful singers. And when you saw O'Brien, you saw a couple things that made him stand out from all the other Western heroes of the day and those who would follow him. For one thing, he was multidimensional. He wasn't just a straight shooter. He was also very authentic, very intimate, very real, someone who had faults, someone who sometimes doubted what he could do as a sheriff or a marshal in facing the bad guys and facing the townspeople. But he always showed dignity. He showed tremendous strength, inner strength, and often was very laconic in his delivery of his lines. And those lines were very well written by the wonderful Frederick Bennett, who wrote many of the scripts, an historian in his own wonderful right. When Wyatt Earp ended in 1961, O'Brien went on to other television work and movie work. He was terrific in the Agatha Christie mystery adaptation, Ten Lydians, in 1964. He did a series for Leslie Stevens on NBC called Search, along with Tony Franciosa, Burgess Meredith, and I believe other people as well. And he also did something very special that other actors at the time did not do. He was very philanthropic. Just after he started Wyatt Earp, because of his work a year before with Albert Schweitzer, the great scientist and humanitarian, he decided to be a humanitarian of his own right by doing a foundation for youth, where 10,000 high school students would get a scholarship and be part of a youth foundation that would have a year-round activity for those folks. That foundation is still operating, and hundreds of thousands of students have graduated from it. And hopefully that will be Hugh O'Brien's big legacy, and a legacy that many other actors maybe these days should be following. He was a tremendous actor. And one more thing about Hugh O'Brien. While he was known for westerns, war dramas, all sorts of things, he rarely got the opportunity to do straight drama. He did so in a CBS movie in 1971 called Harpy. I saw that film when it came out. It's been rarely played since. Somebody YouTube ought to get it. It's a marvelous movie and a great legacy maker for O'Brien. He was a wonderful actor. But more importantly, he was someone who really cared about the future of people in this world and in this nation. And he not only walked the walk, he talked the talk with his wonderful youth foundation that will continue, hopefully, for many years after. As that theme song used to say, when it comes to Hugh O'Brien, long live his name, long live his story, and long may his story be told. Friday on Tomorrow Televised, John Irwin, the executive producer of the new Robert Irvine Show, coming to the CW weekday afternoon starting Monday. And also, we'll have the new executive producer and new co-host of The List, the new syndicated series for the Scripps Network stations, executive producer Terry Mauser and new co-host Christian Guerrero, fresh from E! News, will join us. That's Friday at our regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. If you want to catch up on episodes you missed or came in on today's program, go to our homepage, www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out the podcast on iTunes.com and on Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. We love hearing from you. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please enclose your name and where you're from. That's how you get about our question of the week or in our show to know feature. However you respond, by Facebook, by Twitter, and by email, we appreciate it. Why? Because what you say matters. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, the creator of this very enterprise, Mr. Alan Levy. Tomorrow Be Televised was brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. But Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your Tuesday and your week. We are back Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, you know where. Blog Talk Radio. Please be safe and be great. Post the remnants of Hermine and anything else happening weather-wise. And until next time, stay well and stay tuned.